The current tech boom in San Francisco has divided the city in some ways, pitting those people who are benefiting from it against those who feel pushed out by it. But local resident Danny O'Brien says it's more complicated than an us versus them dynamic.
One of the most shocking things I think about San Francisco and Silicon Valley for someone coming here from somewhere else is discovering that all of these, like a huge chunk of the technologists that you kind of imagine cause this problem, actually a lot of them don't have homes.
O'Brien is a member of a hackerspace called NoiseBridge. It's a place that fosters creative problem solving, mostly through computer programming. But NoiseBridge goes further. The space is run by an anarchist leading group of core members who see hacking as a path towards social justice. So it created a bit of a dilemma for the group when people started sleeping there. That's because NoiseBridge is not a shelter and sleeping is forbidden by the lease. That's led the founders to ask a difficult question. How do you hack San Francisco's homelessness problem? KALW's Holly J. McDeed brings us that story.
The NoiseBridge hackerspace, located on Mission and 18th Street, looks like a garage workshop scaled up to 5,200 square feet. There's sewing kits, a laser printer, a dark room, a kitchen, and a wood shop. And off in the corner, by the 3D printers and electroencephalogram, there's Chris Zapata's sort of bed.
There's a hacker stacker with three spots, and the hacker stacker is like three just basic pods with a yoga mat and stairs for the top two levels.
It's 1 a.m. or so on a Monday morning, and Zapata is showing me around.
Can I say the disclaimer where I don't feel like I represent the space?
Yeah.
Okay. Disclaimer. I am not a member of, or have ever been a member of, the hackerspace known as NoiseBridge.
This is a crucial distinction. Members make the rules at NoiseBridge. They pay dues to cover the building's rent, and they decide who can use the space.
Rule number one is, be excellent. Rule number two, is... if you don't know anything, ask someone. And rule number three is... I don't know rule number three, actually. I think those are just two rules.
Zapata's still learning how NoiseBridge works. He's attracted to the hacker ethos of duocracy, that action of any kind is valued and rewarded. But he's got more pressing reasons to stay at NoiseBridge. He's homeless, and the mission is dangerous at night.
In my sense, in my case, it's partially a choice... to squat here or to leave to nap here sometimes.
Since NoiseBridge moved to this location in 2008, there's been constant debate about people like Zapata, whether they're hackers or just crashers.
And so what we say to people is, yeah, you know, you come here to hack, but like, what does hack mean?
Daniel Bryan is one of 100 or so members of the collective. About 900 other people also use the space each month. O'Brien says those people do a lot of things that technically qualify as hacking.
You know, trying to break into computers recreationally, but it also means like doing stuff in the wood shop, and it also means like playing pranks on people. And you can always kind of defend yourself by going, no, I'm just hacking this sandwich, or, you know, I'm hacking my sleep patterns or something.
It's a safe place, it's a good place, I like it.
Mark O'Neill was sleeping at NoiseBridge until about a month ago, when he was banned. The charge was lack of hacking, or more specifically, repeated drunken behavior, including spreading cheesecake over his face and taking his pants off in what he called an art experiment. Yet O'Neill insists that he's contributed.
I'm always working. I don't need much sleep.
A bit scattered, sorry. I've been up for a while working in the new machine shop.
What class do you teach?
How to make anything, industrial design, how to make anything out of anything.
O'Neill disagrees with the ban, but he doesn't get a say. Only members are allowed to block votes. And member Paul Manon says banning people is the only way to maintain an inclusive environment.
A lot of the regular people won't come here. A lot of women, a lot of kids who won't come here because they perceive they do not have access to a safe environment.
Manon says someone like O'Neill is a nuisance, but they've had to confront more serious problems, things like thievery, assaults, drug abuse, and property damage. So they try to enforce the rules consistently, and that sometimes means kicking people out.
For instance, this morning, I happened to come to Noisebridge at 5 a.m. Just to drop off something, and I found 8 people sleeping here. Maybe 3 of them were actually, you know, some of the usual hackers around here. The rest of them look like street people that just kind of dropped in.
Danny O'Brien acknowledges that the line between napping and sleeping can be blurry, and that it can stand in for that bigger question of who's a hacker at all.
So with 1,000 people, it's really possible to walk in and not know anyone else. And so I think that what that means is if somebody is, like, you know, laid out on the sofa, like, do you go and wake them up and go, no, you must be hacking? It's awkward.
I'm trying to do is basically, like, I have 3 LEDs, and I want to have one control line that controls all of them, so, like, 1 volt and 1 on, 2 volts.
During the day, Noisebridge is a nerd haven. You can't walk in without someone asking you what you hack. There's circuit hacking classes, Python classes, a Dream Team brain hacking class, and a 3D game development group. That's just on an average day. At night, people still work intently. Every sound seems to echo, as though Noisebridge were a cave. The night I met Chris Zapata, I tried sleeping at Noisebridge. Over in the kitchen, one hacker was making a smoothie, nodding distractedly as Mark O'Neill blissfully reported his day's adventures. Zapata searched through the refrigerator and grabbed some cherries. I didn't see a Noisebridge member anywhere, and every soft surface was occupied. Around 5 a.m., I scored a hacker stacker. There was a dog above me that wouldn't stop growling. The man sleeping above him was snoring. And by that time, Mark O'Neill was drunk and loud. There was no way I was getting to sleep.
Live! Live!
Danny O'Brien says most members don't think Noisebridge should have to deal with these kinds of problems, and adds that they already offer a lot to help the homeless. Anyone can subscribe to the Noisebridge jobs page. You can take a class on programming. You can use a computer. And the Noisebridge wiki page offers links to sources of food, shelter, storage, and showers.
If anyone can come up with, like, a solution for homelessness that involves writing some programs in C or an iPod app, then by all means email us and let us know, because we'd be right on it.
Chris Zapata knows his days at Noisebridge might be numbered.
If it comes down to that, then I wouldn't mind presenting myself to the community, because I feel that, at least the way I used it and the way I've napped here, is I've tried to be the least offensive, you could say, least offensive napping, and I don't think I snore, or I try not to smell so much.
Zapata slept in shelters before, but he was only able to get a bed twice. The other times, he had to sleep on a chair, clinging tightly to his belongings. Plus, at shelters, he's always had to be out by 5 a.m., so he says he's grateful for Noisebridge, and he tries to respect the rules.
Even if you can't exactly utilize the space as it was meant to be, that there's always still that possibility, like, it'll rub off on you eventually. And the people and the skills and the minds and the openness will rub off on you, and you will learn something to work with your hands and to work with your mind.
The hackers of Noisebridge may know how to build robots, print whistles from 3D printers, and read brainwaves. But homelessness remains a problem they haven't solved. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.